This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
That is outrageous. Outrageous. The president ought to apologize to Senator Inouye and every veteran who has fought in every war who is a Democrat in the United States Senate. He ought to apologize to the American people. That is wrong. We ought not politicize this war. We ought not politicize the rhetoric about war and life and death.
Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle speaking from the Senate floor Wednesday, reacting to a remark from President Bush, who said that, quote, the Senate is more interested in special interests in Washington and not interested in the security of the American people. Dan Schor joins us now. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Scott.
And, Dan, between the president saying that senators, some senators aren't really interested in national security, and Vice President Gore contending that this administration in power now should have perhaps better red signs of some impending attack in September 2001, has the situation become politicized? Is it beyond debate and judgment now?
Well, I'll tell you, I think politicization is maybe in the eyes of the beholder, but when you behold what's been happening in the past week, here's President Bush, who's been out on the campaign trail, 5 days of campaign speeches, including three only yesterday. In each case, he talks of the menaces of Saddam Hussein. So if you listen to political advisor Karl Rove, who said some time back that the war would be a good thing to campaign on, if you know that Senator Tom Daschle, the majority leader in the Senate, had requested that they postpone the idea of the war issue until after the election, and the White House said no. Politicized? Well, maybe a smidgen.
Now, the White House is circulating a draft resolution for Congress to authorize the use of force. It was amended to deal with some concerns. President says he would like to see it adopted by both houses next week. Good chance of success?
Yeah, I think pretty good, since the Democrats are mostly deathly afraid of being in the position of those 45 Democratic senators who opposed the Gulf War in 1990 and then came to regret it. There's probably a big majority in both houses for this resolution, which gives broad authority for military action. But it may be slowed up some in the Senate because there may be amendments offered from the floor. And then there is Senator Robert Byrd, who's threatening a filibuster. So the chances are good that it will pass, but maybe not quite as fast as the administration would like.
How do you assess the role that former Vice President Gore seems to have stepped into over the past 10 days?
Well, Gore's interesting, you might say. Gore has a viewpoint that the war against Iraq is premature, and he wasn't hearing it from anybody, except from a few Republicans, but not from Democrats in Congress. And he thought maybe the Democrats were acting like wimps and needed to have a little bit of stimulus. So he may have thought he would sort of step into that role. And then judging by what followed, including the broad-based critique of the administration now by Senator Ted Kennedy yesterday, Gore may have succeeded in making Democrats act like Democrats.
Mm-hmm. But let's remind ourselves, we're still talking about only 10 or 15 votes against it in the Senate.
Yes, I do not see the likelihood of a majority against this resolution. People are really in Congress really are very deathly afraid of voting against the president on a war issue.
Mm-hmm. And finally, to politicize this important issue for one more minute.
How dare you?
What do you make of the fact that Vice President Gore's position would seem to be at odds with that of Senator Lieberman, his 2000 running mate?
I don't think that bothered Mr. Gore very much. I'll tell you, I don't know if you were expecting to see another Gore-Lieberman ticket, but after what happened this week, I think you can count out that possibility.
Okay. Secretary of State Powell has reached agreement with Great Britain on a draft UN resolution to give Iraq 7 days to agree to disarmament and weapons inspections, then 23 days to fill out the month to declare all of its weapons stockpiles. And the draft states that the U.S. and Britain would use by any means necessary to enforce those demands. U.S. is lobbying France and Russia on the Security Council. How do you assess the chance of this resolution passing there?
Well, you know, all necessary means. That's the diplomatic euphemism for military means. Mm-hmm. As of now, there is no indication that France, Russia, China will withhold a veto. France and Russia say they want a two-stage process. That is, you tell them now to get in line, then if it doesn't work, then you can consider a resolution with a possible use of force. I do not see the Bush administration buying anything like that, unless Secretary of State Colin Powell can come up with another miracle of writing some kind of compromise. It is very likely to end up with what you might call a moral victory for the United States. In the 15-member Security Council, they may well get a majority, but then it'll be vetoed. It's a little bit like Gore again, winning the popular vote but not the election.
Homeland Security Department. President Bush wanted approval from Congress in time for observances of the September 11th anniversary. Hasn't happened yet. What's the delay now?
Well, it's hard to believe that it's come down to one issue that's blocking the passage of a bill which has been in debate now in the Senate for the past 4 weeks, and it's the question of whether these 170,000 employees drawn from other departments into this future department, whether they can be hired and fired at will by the president or by the secretary of that department, or whether they continue to have civil service protection. It's very hard to see why they're letting that one issue hold it up. I'll tell you, I think that President Bush is inspired by President Reagan, who made a big name for himself by firing the unionized air controllers. It's sort of a macho issue.
Mm-hmm. Congress has yet to adopt the appropriation bills that are necessary to run the government after this Monday. And at the same time, there was an interesting report this week from the Census Bureau on the condition of poverty in America.
Yes, there was. You know, many, many years ago, there was a civil servant named Molly Orshansky, and she wrote something called a poverty index. The amount of the poverty index kept changing, obviously, with inflation. So it is now set as just a little over $18,000 for a family of four. That's not very munificent. But by that index, according to the Census Bureau, we now have 32.9 million poor people, an increase in a year of 1.3 million. I can tell you, it's interesting to read this when you read, first of all, about corporate greed, and secondly, when you read about our getting ready to fight a war against terrorism. The war on terrorism may be going first rate. The war on poverty, with this compassionate conservative administration, not so well.
And let me ask about the meeting of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank in Washington, D.C. this weekend, as they meet every year around this time, and the demonstrators in the thousands who have come from all parts of the country at the same time, although some of their physical presence may or may not grow larger. I guess I don't know the most recent numbers. Certainly there were more than 600 arrests. Some of the focus of the demonstration sometimes gets lost in accounts. What do you make of the message they are trying to bring?
Well, the word globalization figures whenever you talk about that. They are a very mixed bag of people, having each one an issue of his and her own. But I imagine if you try to bring it down and say what it is that unites them, it is you talk about globalization. You talk about the way things are spreading around the world, but it's not only prosperity that's being globalized. It's not only production that's being globalized. It's as though poverty has been globalized too, and somebody has to speak not only for those making millions, but those who are speaking for the poor people.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
Yep.